are officially back. I feel like my volume's a little low. Hello, hello. That's better. We're back again, and this is ATP Around the Post podcast. It's your boy Jay with Mark Figueroa in the building. How you feeling, man?
Good. A lot of good content. Packed episode.
Jam-packed episode. I don't know if I said this already, but this is episode 128. And 28 is 7 times 4. 7 is my favorite number. So this is a good luck episode.
Perfect.
Where are we starting, man? I know some of the topics. It's such big news today. Where do we go first?
Yes, we're going to start. Excuse me. We're going to start by announcing champions. Sabalenka won Adelaide. Djokovic, who was down match point against Sebastian Korda, came back and won as well. And then Team USA won United Cup. Are you shocked at any of those results?
I'm really happy for Team USA. I just want to say that. That was a big win for me. I feel like the U.S. is really on the come up in some ways. Do you think that, this is almost a side topic now, do you think that the U.S.'s recent surge of success between last year and the start of this year is the sign of a new generation of leaders in tennis?
Yes, I definitely agree. Pagula smacked Iga.
Bad.
It was 2-2.
Those down the line shots.
As a matter of fact, she said it was a faster court, so it played to my advantage. Mm-hmm. She tried to downplay it, saying, oh, well, you know, they just got here. We've been here. But bottom line is she gave her a good thumping.
Yeah.
And if Pagula's going to play that way, she's a contender for the title.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got Fritz, who also had pretty big victories. Fritz and Pagula played very well together.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Team USA with Tiafoe, Keys, they're showing a lot of potential, that's for sure.
Yeah, let's not forget that last year was the first year where Americans beat Nadal more times or equal times to the rest of Nadal's career or something like that, you know? So, just very interesting statistics. And it almost, to me, just feels like it came out of nowhere because none of these Americans are people that haven't actively been on the tour and training and trying to break through this whole time.
And Korda, who we've been hoping that he would come up, he showed up.
Yeah.
And Djokovic just, he just put balls in that no other human could do. Mm-hmm. And that's how he finally just won that match.
Yeah.
But Korda showed up.
Yeah, absolutely.
As a matter of fact, Djokovic jokingly said, he's smooth. He's among the smoothest players on tour, but I'm going to try to make him not look as smooth.
Yeah, he said, I'm going to turn a pretty match ugly, essentially.
Yes.
I love that. I love that Djokovic is so cerebral in knowing, hey, I'm going against a premium ball striker. This guy knows how to tag a ball and make it look effortless. I'm not going to go out there and try to out-tag the ball. I'm going to go out there and make this nasty.
Right.
You know, so he's a very intelligent player.
Yes. Before we get to the big, big news, today the Australian Open brackets came out.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to start with the women. So Iga has a pretty good draw until the fourth round where she will play Collins.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if Collins gets through. Collins beat Iga last year at the Australian Open. And then potentially Pagula in the semifinals. Mm. So she has a pretty tough road for her. Then you have Ons Jabeur, who is playing Kanepi, who's a big server, and Hadid Maia, who is an up-and-coming Brazilian who won the Masters in Canada. I think she came in runner-up. My apologies. So that's pretty big as well. Then you have Pagula. She has a tough matchup with Anna Samova in the third round. Kvitova Sakkari. That's probably the toughest draw in the women's side. And then you got Garcia, who has Cornet in the second round. She upset Iga at Wimbledon. Then you got Kontaveit, who is a former world number two.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kazakina and Jabeur. So that's a pretty tough matchup for sure. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm looking forward to it. I think that Iga's still my favorite to win the Australian Open after analyzing the draw and everything. But I couldn't tell you who to expect to be in the semifinals. It's going to be very interesting. I anticipate Sakkari having a good run. I'm hoping Pegula has a good run.
Yes.
And then outside of that, obviously I know Garcia is supposed to be the person to look out for and stuff like that, but I don't know.
Yes. It's tough. It's tough. The way Pegula played, to me, again, she's going to be a heavy favorite. Mm. Now, this is a decent transition because he did talk about Iga, so we might as well just say it now. Mm. John McEnroe is normally commentating for Australian tennis, but ESPN didn't take him, so he won't be announcing for Australia for the tennis. Mm-hmm. He's going to be in some other network that he hasn't been before. Are you shocked by that?
Absolutely. I'm a little confused by that. I can only assume it's financial reasons.
Yes, I honestly don't know, but I thought that was extremely interesting.
Yeah, not only does he have a distinct voice where listeners of the game know it's him speaking, but he's an excellent commentator. And right. He's actually a bit, I want to say, against the grain.
Yes.
In the art of commentary. So, you know, he's very much of the same cloth as Navratilova for me, as right. far as saying things that a lot of commentators don't have the confidence to say. He'll just do it, you know. So it's disappointing to hear.
Yes. And now, the reason why I mentioned this is because McEnroe stated that Iga was robbed by Barty for not having a rival.
Mm-hmm.
He said that because Barty retired, that is one of the reasons why Iga has been winning and she has been robbed of a rival. And he also went as far as to say that it's a little boring because she's been dominating, but there's nobody to really compete against her. Do you agree with McEnroe?
I don't know. I don't know if that's necessarily true, but I do agree with him that we almost have to ask the what-if question on a consistent basis with Iga's amazing season last year, because the number one player in the world just walked away from the sport. You know, at the top of her game, just walked out. And Iga, of course, came almost out of nowhere, it could seem like, to the untrained eye. Obviously, for us, we saw it coming. But it's unfortunate we couldn't at least get the answer to the questions we're all wondering, which is, was this really a rivalry? Was Iga going to dominate the matchup? Was Iga no chance against Barty? And, you know, I can't even tell you just based off of speculation. I'm not really sure. So I hate the ambiguity of the what ifs. You know, it really does take away a little bit from the speculation and stuff like that. And it is what it is. At the end of the day, Iga didn't leave the sport. Iga stepped up to the plate, and that's all that really matters. You know, so I think that they may not like that. It almost can feel like he's propagating speculation of her accomplishments and taking away from what she's done.
Yes.
It can come off that way.
Yes.
But he's also not lying.
Yes, he's very opinionated. He's not fearful of putting his opinion out there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he does make a lot of sense. It makes sense. But again, you can't rob Iga of what she has done, that's for sure. Excuse me. Now, some big retirements that are not going to go to the Australian Open in the WTA. First, we have Venus Williams. She was given the wild card, but she withdrew. Are you shocked by that?
Who? Say that again?
Venus.
I'm not shocked by that at all. I think that we'll see more and more spottiness from the Venus Williams camp throughout the oncoming events and tournaments and stuff like that. It's unfortunate, and I wish she was playing, but, you know, her health is going to be less and less consistent. Her priorities are going to be less and less tennis, and I hope she'll be at some more of the other slams and stuff like that as well, because she'll definitely get the invite.
Yes, and the other one is Naomi Osaka. Do not drop the bombshell as of now.
I will not.
Because there's a lot of before she dropped the bombshell today, there was a lot of speculation of what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to play it that way.
Let's do it.
But are you, again, don't drop the bombshell. Mm-hmm. Are you shocked Osaka withdrew?
I was. But here's the thing. I took it, so when I heard the news that Osaka chose to not play the Australian Open, I took it as the writing's on the wall. This woman's going out the back door of tennis, and she's sneaking out with, what, she make $41 million last year?
Yeah, 51.
In a single season, yes. Barely even played any tennis. I went, oh yeah, she's done. She's going to go to the U.S. Open, and her favorite cities, states, towns, countries, and play those specific places, and call it a day. You know, she's going to put herself in a position of privilege, and she's going to just do what she feels like doing. And that was kind of what I wrote her off as, is, you know, she's peaked and she's done.
Right. So that was the speculation. As soon as she gave that she was going to withdraw, everybody was all, she's done. She made $51 million. It's over. As a matter of fact, a former Nike executive even came in a New York Times piece and said, she has obligations to fulfill. As a matter of fact, Nike is paying incentives and there's bonuses for her for doing so much in the tournaments. Mm-hmm. But if she's not in tournaments, she's not sponsoring us. And that's not a good thing. Mm-hmm. So I was actually shocked that she gave up all that just to withdraw, because at first I'm all, there was no injury. She hasn't been playing.
Yeah.
So I was shocked. And then I thought, well, she made $51 million, so she's happy as heck. It doesn't really matter. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you knew this, she'd signed Ange Jabeur to her sports agency along with Nick Kyrgios. So honestly, she really doesn't need to play tennis.
Yeah.
But then now we will reveal the bombshell. She said today that she's pregnant.
Jeez.
With Corday. And she will miss the entire 2023 season. Are you shocked?
Yes, I am. I'm shocked. That was a massive nuclear warhead dropped on me. I don't know. In theory, in retrospect, you go, okay, that makes sense. But I had no idea it was coming. Didn't expect it. Congratulations to her.
Sure.
It makes more sense for me. It explains a lot. It shows that her priorities were definitely in her personal life more than her public life and her professional tennis career. And, you know, this to me answers a lot of questions that I may have had. You know, her head was in the space of investing in the right now and doing things. I mean, she put out a caption. I don't know if you plan to read it or what the game plan is there, but she kind of gave a little bit of...
Go ahead.
I mean, I'll have to look for it, but if I were to paraphrase it, it's essentially her saying, look, I'm announcing my pregnancy, and... Oh, I have it here. I'm going to read it quote for quote.
Okay, perfect.
The past few years have been interesting, to say the least. But I find that it's the most challenging times in life that may be the most fun. These few months away from the sport has really given me a new love and appreciation for the game I've dedicated my life to. I realize that life is so short, and I don't take any moments for granted. Every day is a new blessing and adventure. I know that I have so much to look forward to in the future. One thing I'm looking forward to is for... Oh, wait, she says things with a question mark when it's not a question. One thing I'm looking forward to is for my kid to watch one of my matches and tell someone, that's my mom. Ha ha. 2023 will be a year that'll be full of lessons for me. And I hope that I'll see you guys in the start of the next one. Because I'll be at Australian Open 2024. Love you all, definitely. Side note, I don't think there's a perfectly correct path to take in life. But I always felt that if you move forward with good intentions, you'll find your way eventually.
Okay, that's a lot.
It was a lot, but it was well said. My immediate reaction to that. I think that she's almost, to me, providing herself I don't know if this is literally her reasoning, but she's giving herself a narrative and a plot and motivation and finding the reason to go hard.
Yes.
You know, this is going to be the driving factor that might be a turning point in her whole career and trajectory mentally and physically. So I think this is a major win for her.
Yes, I definitely agree there. And she's doing what she wants to do, so good for her. Now, on to the men. We have the men, some of the men withdrawals. Marin Cilic is not going to play the Australian Open. And then Carlos Alcaraz, world number one, stated he had a freakish injury while practicing. And he is not going to play the Australian Open. But he did pose for Calvin Klein in his undies.
Oh, man, I saw that.
What are your thoughts?
Well, he hasn't done the super butt-naked nude athletic cover art yet, so we're in the clear still. We're safe. He hasn't taken all the ladies yet.
Yes. So, yes, those are the big withdrawals from the men, which left the door open to possibly a new world number one. If Casper Ruud wins, he will become the world number one.
There's no way.
So, and that put Nadal in the number one spot for the Australian Open. So, again, the draw came out. So, Djokovic actually has a pretty decent draw at the four seed. To me, Dimitrov in the third round, Karenia Busta in the fourth, Rublev in the quarters. So, that's not bad. Then you have Tsitsipas, who has, again, to me, he has the first three rounds are pretty wide open. Sinner in the fourth. And then Aliassime in the quarterfinals. So that'll be tough. Ruud has Brooksby in the second round. Davidoch Fokina, Spaniard, he's solid. Third round, and potential Berrettini Fritz, fourth round and quarterfinal. Do you think that Ruud is going to have a deep run?
I don't want to believe it. I'm still a hater. Although he is an incredible athlete and I respect him, I do not want to manifest any success.
Respect him. He made two finals.
I do respect him. I really do. But I will say this. I don't think this is the slam for him to make a run in. I just don't feel that way. I really do think that come the French, we should keep our eyes wide open, because if Nadal is not healthy and fit, it's going to be between Ruud and Alcaraz, you know, to cover one side of the bracket, and then we can lean on Djokovic to be on the other side. So that's pretty much the length of how I feel there. I think that there's just there's a list of people in Ruud's way that I just expect to outplay him. I don't know if we want to get to that yet, but there's just a few athletes that I have ahead of him as favorites for this slam.
Yeah, so, well, let's get to it. Before I get to the Nadal draw, who are your favorites to win the Australian Open in the men's side?
Nick Kyrgios, Medvedev, Nadal, Djokovic. These are in no particular order. These are just people that I put before Casper Ruud. Casper Ruud, I put in the same category as Tsitsipas. I think that they have an equal chance of making it all the way. And maybe Zverev. You know, I have been watching Dominic Thiem, and he actually looks very good.
Yes.
My dark horse for this event would probably be Tiafoe. I'm very curious to see what momentum does for Tiafoe on this event, because I've never seen him going into the Australian Open with maybe the level of confidence he has right now after winning the United Cup, having a huge US Open run, having a new level of support from fandom and stuff like that, and him being healthy. So I think that he's someone to look out for as well.
And my dark horse would be, especially after his performance, would be Korda.
Yeah,
that's a good one. So that's my dark horse for sure. And now Nadal. To me, he has a very, very tough bracket. He's
used to this.
Yes. He has the next-gen superstars, Draper. He's a next-genner. Then he has Nakashima, another next-genner. Then he has Nishioka, Tiafoe in the fourth round, Medvedev in the quarters. So that is tough. And especially the way he has been playing, do you see him getting past the quarterfinals of the Australian Open with that draw?
That's hard to believe. It's so hard to believe. But at the same time, he's done it. He has done it before. I don't know how he does it or anything, and that makes it hard to count him out. But look, if he lost in this one early, I wouldn't even judge him. I would get it. You know, his body is in a rough state. His confidence, his momentum are at an all-time low, probably. And I know that his focus is what's in front of him, not what's behind him. But, wow, this is a nasty draw.
Yeah, that's a very tough draw. He keeps getting just these tough draws for some reason. World number one. But if he can do it, it'll be him. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And a little bit off tennis news. excuse me. Nadal has become an E1 series owner. E1 is Champions of the Water. So it's electric race boats. So he has become an owner of that. What are your thoughts?
I don't know enough about it to really have a true opinion, but I love to hear that he's digging into other ventures and things outside of the game.
Yes, I think it's very exciting. So that's pretty good for him. Moving on, this is actually a pretty funny story. Bernard Tomic got, let's just say, the Australians did not treat him well. Greg Tilley, who is the one of the tournament directors, he said he was overlooked. So he has had a career resurgence. He was outside of the top 800, and now he's around the 450s. He was not chosen to play in the qualifiers to qualify for the Australian Open. As a matter of fact, they chose up-and-comers and youngsters over Tomic. And Craig Tilley said, they're youngsters, they're up-and-comers, they're the future. So Tomic was out, although he is ranked higher than every single one of them. Tomic also said, I'm used to not being handed anything. That's fine. I will earn my spot. What are your thoughts on the Australian Open not allowing Tomic to qualify for the Australian Open?
I mean, this is what happens when you burn bridges and tarnish relationships and you take for granted opportunities you've been given in the past, you know? So in Bernard Tomic's case, this is the guy we've seen go out there and throw matches, throw tantrums. Just disrespect the platform is the best way to put it, you know? Because at the end of the day, we're entertainers if we're professional tennis players, right? And he goes out there and purposely does not put on a good show.
Right.
What do you think is going to happen? They're going to go, you do not sell tickets. You will not be in a seat or you will not be on a court. On the flip side, I mean, let's look at it the other way. When people go out there, no matter how out of shape they are, they've given their life to the sport. Venus Williams gets an invite, you know, because she deserves it and worked for it. You know, it goes both ways. You know, the people that we wish we could see one more time get invites. Federer turned his down. And the people that no one actually has any desire to watch, like Tomic, he's not getting an invite. You know, there's too many other people in Australia who are fighting for those spots. I think Australia is very inspired right now for tennis.
Yes.
So, yeah, there's a lot of up-and-comers that should be looked out for.
Yes, I agree. Although it sounds bad, being the highest-ranked person and not even getting the qualification, he did burn bridges. He has thrown matches, so it could get annoying. And backing him up would be annoying for sure. Moving on to the next topic, we have the Netflix series. We have some critics that have talked about the Netflix series. They stated that they wanted it to be more in your face. So the first episode was Nick Kyrgios. He got in an altercation with Michael Venus in the doubles last year. They completely ignored it. They said that they tried to make Kyrgios look good instead of the confrontational person that he is.
Mm-hmm.
Then they obviously, Rudd and Holger Rune had that big altercation.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't show it.
Mm.
They had Holger Rune yelling at a linesman, but not at Casper Rudd. And then they said that they missed the rise of Nadal's year. He was one of the hottest stories in the year, winning the two majors. This critic said they missed it. How can they miss that? And then, of course, the Djokovic saga in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
They said they didn't add anything to what we already know. What are your thoughts on this critic? And are you still wanting to watch after what this person said?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm still very much invested in checking this out and critiquing it for myself. I'm a huge tennis fan, so I'm going to love the show. There's no question about it. I have no doubt in my mind I'm going to be a fan of this show. I am interested to see what angle they did take and what their goal was with it. Because, you know, every single one of these shows has their bias, their underlying vision and messages they're trying to put across and stuff like that. So I'd like to see what their aim is with this show.
Yes, I agree. I still want to watch it for myself and see how it is. Mm-hmm. I am, as a matter of fact, I am interested to see how they paint Nick Kyrgios,
mm-hmm.
who is the biggest star, in my opinion, in the ATP, and how he draws tickets.
Yeah.
And that leads to Nick Kyrgios. As a matter of fact, he went on Twitter and threw a little cheeky response.
Mm-hmm.
He and Djokovic having an exhibition prior to the Australian Open.
Mm-hmm.
The ticket sold for about $30.
$20.
They sold in an hour.
Yeah.
Then he said, I'm bad for tennis, huh? I don't sell out stadiums, huh? I guess I am the stuff, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on Kyrgios' response?
I don't know. I don't know who he's at war with when he says this kind of stuff. Because I don't know anyone denying the fact that he is a ticket-selling, seat-filling athlete. Everyone admits that I know of. I don't know any commentators or analysts that push any other narrative besides the fact that this guy demands attention. You know, like, people want to see him play. So, it's funny that he's talking to these haters out there. But I mean, the haters even know he fills seats. You know what I mean? So, you know, whatever. No one, I don't know. I guess what I should say is maybe he thinks that because he sells tickets, he's not bad for the sport. But two things don't necessarily have to be mutually exclusive. You can sell tickets and be bad for the sport. I don't think he's that, but that's just my way of saying I don't know what evidence he's putting together for his argument there. You know, unless he thinks making money for the sport is what is good for the sport. But, you know, not all press is good press is probably what the haters would say.
I just think that he uses this as fuel.
Yeah.
And that's his way to motivate himself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the last things that I forgot to mention, Tsitsipas. They interviewed Tsitsipas on this Netflix documentary about Kyrgios and the Wimbledon incident. And Stefano said he's not a bad guy. He's just the devil on the court. So Netflix was trying to get more controversy there and to really get it going, but they felt that it was just not there. So I honestly can't wait to watch it. So
yeah, I'm excited. I'm so excited for it.
So I pretty much don't have anything else to add. Is there anything else you have?
I do want to I want to bring up some first round matchups for the Australian Open team.
Okay.
I'll be honest with you. There's some hot matches in the first round. Some of these, they have countrymen facing off. And also, some of these are, in my opinion, a step below legends playing each other almost.
Oh, wow.
So, some interesting matchups here. Let's start with Tanasi Kokkinakis is playing Fabio Fognini first round.
Kokkinakis just beat Rublev.
Yeah. So a big match there. I'm curious if you have any hot takes on how that's going to go.
If Kokkinakis is serving well, as he did against Rublev, it's Kokkinakis for me.
Yeah. My next one is Grigor Dimitrov is playing Karatsev.
Wow, that's a big one.
That's a big first round. These are two guys who both in the past have had major Australian runs.
Yes.
So, I don't know if you remember, I think it was 2017, Dimitrov took Nadal the distance.
Yes.
And then, obviously, that was either last year or the year before last, Karatsev broke through
right
at the Australian as well.
So, yeah, these are popcorn matches for sure.
Yeah, so major matchups there. John Isner and Mannarino. A little bit unorthodox there.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting matchup for sure.
Nasty lefty.
Yes.
Big, heavy server. I don't know what to expect there. That's going to be a funky matchup for me.
Then hopefully we get his pickleball game, it didn't bother him.
Stay out the kitchen, buddy.
Exactly.
The Frenchmen play each other here. And this one is... Whoever wins this is probably losing the very next round, but... Richard Gasquet versus Humbert.
Oh, that's a big one, actually.
That's a Hugo big Humbert. Frenchman,
yeah, yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah, so that's an amazing first round as well.
Oh, for sure.
And then we get another countryman shootout. Canadians this time. Pospisil versus Aliassim. And they just played United Cup together.
Yes.
So that's going to be a very interesting one because I don't think a lot of people realize Pospisil is actually a very good player.
Yes, he is.
So I look forward to that one. Another set of countrymen face off. These guys, Nakashima versus McDonald.
Yes, that's a big one.
Yeah, another very big one. So I'm curious how that's going to go. This one is probably more for the tennis nerds, but Bublik versus Fokina.
Yes, that's a good one as well.
That's a very good match.
Yes.
They're both slightly off the radar.
Yes.
But they're both very good players. So,
exactly.
I'm interested to see how that goes. Here's another one. Edmund versus Sinner. That might be Britain's. He's a top three British player.
Yes.
Versus obviously Sinner, who's a top three next gen athlete.
Yes.
So that's a pretty interesting first round for Sinner to go through. Here's one where I'd like to hear your response. Taylor Fritz versus Bashlashvili.
Wow. First round. Wow, that's going to be a very good match. Bashlashvili is a... he has a pretty big backhand.
Yeah.
His forehand is a little funky, but if it gets going, he can make some damage for sure.
Yeah.
Fritz, if he doesn't serve well, he's going to have problems.
We've seen what happens when Fritz gets an unideal early matchup right. with someone.
Yes.
Can go very poorly for
exactly.
him.
Exactly.
This next one is, this to me is a juggernaut match. Rublev versus Dominic Thiem.
Oh, wow.
First round.
That's huge.
That's a huge first round.
Didn't they practice, was that the video you were showing me?
Yes. They've trained together.
They were ripping it.
They trained on clay, and they were slugging the ball at each other.
Yes.
And Dominic Thiem has been playing great tennis in his satellite warm-up matches and tournament exhibitions, whatever he's been doing. I don't even remember what the name of the country he's in is. It's got like two O's in it. It's a funky name.
Kuyang,
yeah. He's playing there, and he's been having wars with Tiafo, and he's been playing some big names. So
A big match.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to
that. I can't wait for that one.
And I think this might be my last one. Well, obviously, we already said it earlier, Nadal versus Draper.
Yes.
That's a big one.
That's huge.
That's a big one. But the last one here, and this one, it isn't really like we don't know what's going to happen, but this is a good match. Matteo Berrettini versus Andy Murray.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big matchup as well.
Yeah.
You never know. Murray can pull the upset.
He can, because he gets that extra ball back.
Yes.
But first round.
Yeah, that's big.
And Berrettini's coming off of, he just was playing.
Yes.
And he was playing big. So that's going to be a really tall order for him. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I wouldn't sell out Murray.
I can't. He's a legend. But
yes.
I feel bad for him that's what he has to do his first round.
No, big time, for sure.
But yeah, that's pretty much everything I had. I just want to go over those because there's so many ridiculous first round matches. It would have been worth it to just get a little cheapy ticket, general admission, and go see some legends play.
Oh, the Australian Open really put some good matches in the first round for sure.
Yeah.
So make sure to watch it, that's for sure. So with that, we conclude this episode. I hope you guys were entertained.
Adios.